You're in Braves country.
Yeah, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? Hope you are having a great start to your week as we get into Braves country hot stove. Be doing this every Monday. I believe I could have my schedule changing, but we're doing this once a week regardless. And those of you listening to us on YouTube, seeing us on YouTube, please like and subscribe. Those of y'all listening to us on the radio, good day to you. And we are going to, and plus anybody that has any questions, any comments, please throw them in the chat. Love to hear your opinion as well. But we are going to go into the off season at hand with your Atlanta Braves. Now we will continue to cover the World Series pitch by pitch, play by play. More on that a little later, but let's get into the hot stove for your Atlanta Braves as we are just days away from a lot of this stuff that's going to be hitting the fan. And 5 days after the World Series ends, we are going to have players with the Braves are going to have to make decisions on. You have to make a lot of decisions on these players as you're going to have, let's start off with Charlie Morton has a $20 million option. Still remains to be seen whether or not Charlie wants to play. And there is talk about as well, and rightfully so, that Charlie Morton could do one or two things. He could retire. Well, he actually could do one of three things. One of four if you count the Braves picking up his option. He could retire. The Braves pick up the option as is. He could go to another team, obviously. And then the other big thing would be the Braves could restructure the deal to make it a little more club friendly, maybe in the 15 range and not in the 20 range. And if he's willing to do that, I think the Braves would jump on it. Look, he was an innings eater. We know that he got injured at the end. It was a fluke injury, a sprained finger. He was just out of nowhere. And as opposed to raking him over the coals for the injury, I'd say that was more on the Atlanta Braves for not being prepared for possible injuries. Because to win a World Series, you need a lot of luck, and the luck department gets to the top of the chain when you talk about staying healthy. But also, you got to be prepared when guys go down. You can't be relying on essentially where we were was relying on Spencer Strider and a whole hell of a lot of help. The weird injury that happened to Max Fried, I'm not going to blame the front office for that either. I think that would be a little goofy to do that. But I will say that they should have been a little more prepared. They should have had at least one more veteran on that staff. And there were a lot of options out there, and they just didn't do it. Okay, we move on. Going to quit beating that dead horse. Charlie Morton has a $20 million option. Good afternoon to everybody in the chat or morning, whenever you're consuming this. Wherever you are, whatever time zone you're in. $20 million Charlie Morton option. Now, there is no buyout, and that's key. That really is key because when you talk about a Charlie Morton option and not having to pay any kind of a buyout, then it's a little more likely that Atlanta could restructure the deal. If there was a buyout, then you have to factor that in. At that point, you might as well pick it up at the 20. And I think if Charlie comes back, Charlie is specifically coming back to win a championship, go on a championship run, and he's made a lot of money in his career. I don't know if that's going to make a big deal to him. On what if the Braves say we're going to give you $15 million? He says no, I want more. Do you really think Charlie Morton's going to go be a mercenary for a team that's not in it? Now, would he possibly go to another contender? That is a possibility. But how many of them are going to go out there and throw $20 million at a 40-year-old? I think $15 million is likely. Remember, when he signed with Atlanta, the first go-around, it was for $15 million. And then Atlanta was enticing him to stick around. I still wonder if he's actually going to play. A lot of signs pointed to him retiring. It really did. You saw him in the interviews. This was even before the injuries. You saw him in the interviews, and he just looked like a guy that was spent more mentally than physically. So I wonder if he wants to go through another grueling season. There could be another option out there, and we have not seen it in a while. The guy that comes to my mind is Roger Clemens. You remember Roger Clemens at the tail end of his career would come in and just basically want to start his season in June? That's another wild option that could be out there. He could be telling Atlanta, look, I don't know if I want to play or not, but I know I don't want to play 162 games. But I'd like to come in with enough time to get revved up and when you know you're ready to go. That could be that wild option as well. Maybe you also do a deal with him where you say, hey, we're thinking about running a six-man, not a five-man rotation. So if we do that, we need more money to play with. Would you come in on a lower rate? And you're such going to pitch once a week. We want to keep you fresh. We want to keep you ready to roll. But you're also 40 years old. We don't want to wear the tread off the tires. That's another option. You don't hear people talking about it, but it is a real option. The other big decision that has to be made. Because first of all, Brad Hand, $7 million option, that's not a decision that has to be made. That is not happening. It's a $500K buyout. You're going to buy him out. They're going to wish him well. If they were to bring him back, it would be at a much friendlier club price. Brad Hand is not bringing in $7 million value in that bullpen. But the other big one that is out there is Eddie Rosario at the $9 million. And if you poll 30 people covering the Atlanta Braves right now, you're getting almost a 50-50 split. I think there's more of a lean of people believing they're going to bring back Eddie. I am in the minority, the very slim minority, but the minority of thinking that they can do much better on the open market. There was just a lot of things with Eddie Rosario that turned me off to him this year. The fact that he gave away so many at-bats. And I'm not even going to reference the at-bat that he gave away to end our season, or essentially end our season. I'm talking about even before that. He would go up there. He could not. If they want to go off of analytics, let's go off the fact that Eddie Rosario can't hit the high fastball, and he doesn't stop swinging at it. That's the maddening thing. There are some guys that know they can't hit certain pitches. They lay off it. He continues to swing at the damn thing. Eddie Rosario's money pitch is down and in, like a lot of left-handers. It's down and in. And they were dotting fastballs, some in and some out of the zone, up top, out wide, and he was going for it every time. If he did make contact, it was a can of corn over into left field. So I would prefer them to go with more of a youth movement out there, see what sticks, and then if it doesn't work out, you can always assess that at the trading deadline. There's always outfielders out there that can be had at the trading deadline that you could help your team with. But I'm sorry, we had an opportunity, do you remember, to bring Jock Peterson back a couple years ago on a $7 million option. We decided not to do that, and we're going to pay Eddie Rosario $9 million? I'm sorry, it doesn't make sense. The other one I don't think this is much of a head scratcher, but we do know that Snicker and company do love the guy. Colin McHugh has a $6 million club option. It is a $1 million buyout, but I don't see them bringing him back for six. He's not worth it. He's just not. Could they possibly bring him back on a league minimum? Maybe. I would like to see them move on and get younger arms out there. I like Colin. I liked his career. I liked what he did for Atlanta when he first got here. I like him a lot in the booth. I've talked about it before. I think he would be a phenomenal addition, get rid of some of those other jerkwads that they have in the Braves TV booths. But Colin McHugh being brought back on a $6 million option just isn't an option. Kirby Yates has a 5.75 option. And you can make more of an argument for that because his buyout is 1.25, which means it's a $4.5 million difference. Are you going to get on the open market the value of a Kirby Yates for $4.5 million? Because that's what you're really talking about. You're not really talking about paying him 5.75. What you're really talking about is paying the difference, which is 4.5. Now, if you think you can get better out there, okay. But I would contend that there's a better than greater chance that Kirby Yates is back. McHugh is gone. Hand is gone. Charlie Morton comes back at a much more reasonable price. And then the big one that I'm going to be, this is the one that I'm going to be looking at. You know, we got 5 days to make this decision after the World Series ends. Eddie Rosario, $9 million. And I know a lot of folks still love Eddie and they want to bring him back and they still remember the glory days of those 2 weeks where he was red hot in October in 2021. You just can't rebottle things sometimes. And I think you're better off moving on. Here are arbitration eligible players. We didn't hit this last week. This is some stuff that we need to address. These are the guys that are going to go to arbitration. Now, the projections were projected by Major League Baseball trade rumors. They came up with these numbers. I cross-referenced them with a couple of others. They were pretty much on the nose. Some of them were a tad high, some of them were a tad low, but all in all, I'm going off of these numbers. AJ Minter would come back at 6.5. I think they absolutely do it. Max Fried, 14.4. They absolutely will do that. Yanni Chirinos, $2 million. I don't believe they bring back Yanni. Yanni was, come on. I see the question about Eddie's buyout. Eddie's buyout, once again, is nothing. He has no buyout. Eddie and Charlie Morton, both of them have zero buyouts. They either pick them up or they don't pick them up. Now, these arbitration-eligible players, you either go to arbitration or you let them become free agents. There is no buyout in these. So AJ Minter, 6.5. Max Fried is 14.4. Yanni is 2. I'm sorry, but you got to kick Yanni out. There's no way in hell. $2 million for what? I mean, he was batting practice at best. Michael Soroka, $3 million. Honest engine, Michael's not worth the $3 million, but they may do it just because they have this infinite love affair with what Soroka was in 2019. But Michael Soroka, he's not worth it. And you might have to just let him, because here's the other thing about Soroka. Because he's out of options, if you do bring him back, he's got to stay on the roster all year long. So what the hell do you do if he goes out there and starts getting clubbed around? Then you've essentially just wasted that money. I'd let him go to free agency. I may try to bring him back on a prove-it deal. He may get a better deal elsewhere, and fair enough. We'll see you. But he has not been worth three by any stretch of the imagination. He had a 6.4 ERA last year in the majors. He was pretty decent in the minors, but that doesn't do you any good. I do believe that the Michael Soroka will get picked up. Someone's going to give him a chance. Now, at what rate, that'll be the key. If he thinks that he can stay in Atlanta and make just as much money in Atlanta as anywhere else, he's going to stay in Atlanta just from the comfort level and the fact that he knows their doctors, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think he's in a situation where he believes that he needs a change of scenery to become a better pitcher. I don't think that would be in his mindset at all. I think it's more of the effect that Soroka could take more money because he could see, I mean, let's look at it. He could see the end of the road and go, man, I don't have it. And I got to make every dime I can make. And at that point, I can't hate on the guy. I'd say, hey, good luck. But I'd rather go with a youth movement. By the way, we've got some younger pitchers that we're going to talk about that could be real players in the rotation for 2023. We'll get to that in a second. So Soroka's three. Nick Anderson is 1.6. That's a, you know, if they think they can keep him healthy, I say you take a swing with Nick. When he was healthy and throwing well, Nick Anderson was pretty good out of that bullpen. And he seemed to only be getting better before the injury happened. Here's an interesting one. We made the trade. I thought he was out of options, out of arbitration eligibility. It wasn't until a few weeks after that I looked in and go, oh, wow, we could actually bring him back. Nicky Lopez, $3.9 million. That's an interesting option. He's a good piece off that bench. I don't hate that at all. He's a damn good piece off that bench. Give you some depth. Give these guys days off during the year. I love the idea of bringing Nicky back. And look, it's not up to him. If it were up to him, he probably wants to go elsewhere and play more. But this is a deal that Atlanta can bring him back at 3.9. I mean, that's pretty darn good. Colby Allard is a $1 million option. I say cut ties with him. He was batting practice. He had the one good outing the first time that he came out for the Braves, and then there was a film on him, and then everyone just started launch angling him. He's just not worth it. I don't believe he is. Now, the Braves might bring him back just for a depth piece. I could see that. I could see them saying that. I could see them saying that, well, we're going to bring him back because he's such a cheap deal and we can get some innings out of him. That I understand because you could put him down in the minors. Pretty sure he still has options. So you could send him down to the minors and then bring him up for spot starts. That part I could understand. Ben Heller is another interesting one. When he was good, he was damn good. When he was off, he was off. But he can be brought back for $900K. I don't think you can beat that. I'd like to see them bring back Ben and see what he could do. Michael Tonkin is definitely being brought back. He only has a $1 million expectation on arbitration. You got to bring Tonkin back. Sam Hilliard, he's probably heading to the trash heap. 1.1, and he couldn't stay healthy. He didn't work in with the Braves' plans. It is what it is. Kyle Wright, they will bring back. It'll be money thrown away because we know he's not going to pitch in 2024. He's going to pitch. Next time we'll see him is hopefully spring of 2025. He had shoulder surgery, and he is done for next season. But 1.4, they'll bring him back on that. And with the hopes that he'll be ready to roll for 2025. We talked about Tonkin and Hilliard and Heller. Get down to Andrew Velazquez. I don't believe they bring him back, but they could possibly. He's 740. And Wasker Enoa can be brought back at one even. And I believe they do bring him back because along with Nick Anderson, they're expecting them to be back sometime this year. Remember, they both had Tommy John. They'll both be back sometime this year. And when you have an opportunity to bring those guys back, they could help spell. I really believe that Enoa at this point is a guy that's more likely to be in the bullpen and not in the starting rotation. He never really developed that third pitch, and how the hell is he going to develop it when he's injured? So I think he's going to come back out with his fastball slider, and that's essentially what you'll see from him. And then he might develop into a starter later in his career, but this year, to get something out of him, I think you really have to expect that he's going to be a bullpen piece. Ian Anderson, that'll be an interesting one. They'll hope to have him back. They'll hope to have him back in the rotation sometime midway through the year. And we all remember how good Nick Anderson was. We all know how good Nick Anderson was. But when he started to fall off, this before the injury, he was having a lot of issues with his control. Now, a couple of years away from the game, gets a chance to reset himself. Who knows what we'll get from him. But all eyes will be on Nick Anderson. Now, this is just a reminder of the deals we already have in place for guys that we have locked up long term. We'll hit those real quick, and then we'll continue with some of the options. Austin Riley is locked up through possibly 2033 because there is a club option. The deal runs through 32, club option 33. Matt Olson is locked up through 2029. Spencer Strider is locked up through 28. With a club option of 29, there is a buyout. Most likely, he's, for all intents and purposes, he's locked up till 2029. Sean Murphy, and we know he fell off a cliff at the end of the season, but he is locked up through 2028. Club option in 29. And that really is just going to come down to how well is he playing, because he'll be an aging catcher at that point, and how well is he playing going into his mid-30s. Michael Harris is locked up to till 2030. Acuna is locked up through with club options through 2028. So technically, the deal runs through 2026, but there are club options all the way through 28, which obviously at this point the Braves would be picking up. Iglesias, his deal runs through 2025. So the back of the bullpen is set through 2025. At least through 2024 with Minter to Iglesias. Ozuna, his deal runs through 2024. But there is a club option in 2025. And the way he hit the ball this year, they absolutely could pick him up. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think it was a pretty reasonable club option. It was somewhere around the 14-15 range. So, you know, we keep thinking 2024, but they could have their DH through 25 at this point. Do you think they will pay Acuna more? I mean, the only reason why you pay Acuna more is if you lock him up to a long-term deal. The Braves have to get something to give something. And I could see it. There's been talk of Anthopoulos and the Acuna camp trying to work out a long-term deal before next season. So that obviously can be a factor. Now, the question is, what the hell does he want? He's going to be coming off an MVP season. What does he want? The other option would be you just ride this damn thing out and you might end up having to trade him at the very end of it. I don't love that. I'd love to see Acuna be a Brave for his entire career. But if he digs in his heels, and let's say he wants, I mean, if you think about some of these deals that have been put out there recently, what if he wants a Mike Trout deal at $450 million? Now, the other option that they have is, remember, we've talked about this before, but the Braves media right deal ends in 2027. You'll notice all these deals that we're mentioning, including Ozzie Albies, he has a club option all the way to 2027. Okay? All these deals are coming at the end of that. Now, Darnold actually has a club option all the way through 25. Orlando Arcia, a club option through 26. But those are kind of the outliers. Those aren't really the core that I would look at. Arcia did a phenomenal job at shortstop. He's not going anywhere, Braves country. At that current number, he has got $5 million through 25? And then the club option? You're not getting a better deal than that at shortstop. A guy who is an elite glove, one of the best arms in all of baseball. He's an elite defender. When you start stacking up the top shortstops in Major League Baseball defensively, I'm sorry, but for people who don't watch other teams, Orlando Arcia is top two or three in the game. He just is. I know offensively, he's not the greatest thing in the world, but considering what you're paying him, he's pretty damn good. And a guy who's probably going to be hitting number nine in your lineup. Remember, the teams that make it all the way through the playoffs, including the championship run for the Braves, your number nine hitter is not hitting, you know, 320 with 25 homers. They're run-of-the-mill batters that you hope to get the best out of, and when they get hot, they get hot. So Arcia is going to be there through 26, unless he absolutely falls off a cliff defensively. I don't see any situation where they don't keep him through the 2026 season. But the Braves media right deal ends in 2027. And when that comes up, there's going to be a huge, huge difference in what the Braves have to play with financially then than what they have to do now. Right now, they're trying to keep the payroll just over $200 million before the season starts because there are other things that kick in that eventually it's going to get it over that threshold of, I believe this year, it's in the mid-230s. Last year it was at 233. So what you're looking at, and they're willing, this past year they spent about 250. So they're willing to pay that threshold. They just don't like going into the upper echelon. So you're looking at deals that you're trying to stay somewhere in the range of just over, I believe 205 was the number that we started off in 2023, and then eventually with all the other things that kick in, it got it over the 230 range, and then when you talk about sending guys up and down, et cetera, that's how you end up with the 250. They want to have a little money to play with, and one of the reasons will be is because I do believe he's going to be a little more aggressive this year at the trade deadline. I don't think you're going to get the same sit on your hands type of stuff with Anthopoulos. Now, maybe he makes these deals before the trade deadline. That's more of his MO. But the trade deadline, they want to have some flexibility. Because you can go in with the perfect roster in the spring, and then, uh-oh, guy's just having a bad year, or uh-oh, there's an injury. Whatever. The other guy I think I failed to mention, so I think I said Darnold through the 25 season has a club option. Tyler Matzek, he will be back this year. Remember, he's coming off of surgery, off of injury. They expect him to be back fairly early in the year. And he actually has a club option all the way to 2025. And to me, that is enormous because it gives you, assuming he can come back to where he was, and I have all the belief in the world that Tyler Matzik's going to come back as an elite player. But assuming that he's able to do that, you're then going to have a guy, two left-handers in the back of that bullpen along with Iglesias, and then I believe they're going to hold on to Nick Anderson. Hopefully they do. I think it would be foolish not to do it. But even with all that being said, you're going to have a really good bullpen there at the end. Now, guys that we're going to lose, Joe Jimenez is a free agent. And I think someone's going to back the truck up. I think the Braves would love to bring him back. He was really good, but that's the problem. He was really damn good at times. Remember, he won reliever of the month in, I believe it was July, and then he came in the top three in voting in two other months this year. Brad Hand will be a free agent after the buyout. Kevin Pillar will be a free agent. Pierce Johnson is on the list, but remember, Pierce Johnson got locked up shortly after the Braves season ended. He signed a two-year deal worth just over $14 million. And then Jesse Chavez will be another wild card. Does he come back? I think if he does, he comes back with the Braves. He seems to love it in Atlanta. He plays very well in Atlanta, and he knows that they trust him. He goes out and has a couple of bad outings early on. They're not going to start panicking and going man overboard. So there you have that. Now the question is, who are the options out there for the Braves to build? And I thought this would be a good one to tackle, because this is where you have to start making these decisions. And I grabbed a handful of names, so let's go ahead and get into it. As you're looking at who's out there, the trade's being made, we're about to jump into that.
You're in Braves country.
Who can the Braves bring in with reason? Now, I'm not going to lose my mind and start talking about Shohei Ohtani. Let's make a trade for Aaron Judge and put him in left field. I'm talking about realistic options. There's always that one thread that you'll see during the offseason. You're like, this guy is just trying to get clicks. But the funny thing is, there'll be like a handful of fans that'll run with it, and then they'll come at me and go, hey, I saw where this and I saw where that. And I'm like, well, that a creator needs to be drug tested. All right. One name I want to throw out there before we get into all the options that I don't want to overlook, that is in Braves country right now. Hurston Waldrop is a real option to hit our starting rotation at some point in 2023. I don't think he'll break with the team, but he was phenomenal last year. He is unbelievable talent. I would just tend to think that they're going to take baby steps with him and make damn sure that he can mirror what he did and maybe grow a little bit. Because when you take him from the minors, he went rocketing through our system. You take him from the minors and you shoot him all the way up into the major leagues. The game is a different game. The talent, the experience, you have it. The environments. But Hurston Waldrop is an absolute option. For folks who didn't see him pitch, I watched a few of his games this season. He's impressive. He was first round pick at the University of Florida. He was one of the guys that they rode all the way to an incredible regular season. They didn't do much. They couldn't finish the deal. I can't say they didn't do much. They actually had a good postseason. But they couldn't finish it off. But Waldrop is impressive. So he is someone I do want to circle, because I believe that he could be an option at some point in the season. Another guy that is obviously, now this guy has a real opportunity to be the part of the discussion of the starting rotation as we break for camp, and that would be A.J. Smith-Shawver. A.J. Smith-Shawver, the SS A.J., as I like to call him, he was so damn impressive. And it seemed like every time they put him in a big spot, he performed. I still say he should have started game three against the Phillies. He's got stuff that plays, and he's going to be phenomenal, and I look forward to his career. He is only 20. He'll be 21 next year, but he's got such a live arm and a fastball that pops. And you have to look at some of the real stuff that is going to be going down with the Braves this year. We don't have Kyle Wright. That's number one. We could be without Charlie Morton. So you're talking about a starting rotation. And this is assuming that there's not a trade made in the offseason. There have been a lot of folks who have been hinting that we could get a big trade in the offseason, and we could get some stuff, and we could give some stuff up, mainly being the fact that Max Fried is going to be a free agent at the end of 2024. I'll hate to see him go, but if they get a guy with more control, you got to understand it. He'll be 31 going into 32 years old when Max Fried hits free agency. And it normally just doesn't work out well. It just doesn't. Look at the money that the New York Yankees wasted on Carlos Rodon, and they got nothing out of him in this year. Now, yes, you can turn around and say, hey, what about Gerrit Cole? And he's been damn good. But look at the money that was turned around and given to an aging pitcher like Max Scherzer. Holy cow, was that money thrown away. So the real scenarios that are most likely going to play out, as long as Anthopoulos is our general manager, I believe he's going to continue to invest in the younger players, especially the really young proven pitchers like a Spencer Strider, and the younger position players that will continue to develop, and you don't have worries about wear and tear. Guys like Michael Harris, they'll grab them young and say, hey, if you want to make life-changing money right now, we'll lock you up. But there's not going to be a lot of pitchers that come along that way. And there's a very good opportunity. Look, let's say we stand pat and we keep Max Fried and we don't move him for someone who might have a little more control. Your starting rotation next year as we speak is Fried, Strider, Bryce Elder, and who the hell knows. And that's why I think SSAJ is going to get a very good opportunity. And look, he's got to come ready. He's got to deliver well in the spring. But outside of that, we're talking about opportunities for him to be in the starting rotation when we break for camp in late March. Now, here are some names that they could make some moves with. A guy who's been talked about being moved several times, and he's projected to be arbitration eligible for $12.2 million this year, which is doable, especially if you lose Charlie Morton. Now, you're going to have to give some stuff up, obviously. But the Cleveland Guardians have been talking about moving Shane Bieber, or there's been talk of the Cleveland Guardians moving Shane Bieber for quite some time, and he is elite. He would be a game changer in that rotation. the White Sox Dylan Cease. I think you have to give a little more to get Cease than you would Bieber, just because Bieber is much closer to free agency. The Tampa Bay Rays and Tyler Glasnow. Tampa Bay doesn't tend to take their guys all the way to free agency, and they may want to move Glasnow, who, look, when he's on, Glasnow is one of the best right-handers in baseball. What you would have to give up, that's the conversation. Boston Red Sox have Nick Pivetta. I'm not as big a fan of his because I really feel like he's a guy that come postseason, he's more of a guy that's going to be working long relief. And if we're going to flip the switch on a big trade, I got to have a guy like a Shane Bieber or Tyler Glasnow, even a Dylan Cease, that's going to change the game. Cleveland's also talked about, because he's coming up for free agency, is Cal Quantrill. Quantrill's pretty solid pitcher. He's not a guy that's going to all of a sudden make you a World Series champion because he's on your roster, but he is a guy that's going to go out there and pitch a good game, and he's not going to go all Bryce Elder in a game three. The one that was out there that I think is probably off the table now because of the injury to the rest of the rotation. Remember, Woodruff went down and is having surgery. Corbin Burnes is one that talked about it. But the problem is, if Milwaukee trades Corbin Burnes, they are essentially telling their fans who are thinking about buying season tickets, all right, it's over. Corbin Burnes is more likely to get traded during the season near the deadline. That's just a PR move, right? Because if you're a fan of the Brewers and you're thinking about buying season tickets or just a bulk of tickets as the season goes on, and you already know that you're missing one of your big bullets and they trade Corbin Burnes, you're less likely to go all in and buy a bunch of tickets and say, all right, let me go see this team waller around and maybe win 75 games. So I think Milwaukee probably holds on to Burnes, but they do trade him at the deadline. And he will be a hot commodity at the deadline. Remember, he won the Cy Young, was it 2 years ago? Here are your free agencies out there, free agents, that you can take a look at, and a strong look at. Blake Snell, but I believe he's going to be asking top dollar. And Blake Snell had probably a Cy Young year. I would assume he's going to be the National League Cy Young winner. And that is a bad time to sign a guy at a Cy Young year. Not to mention the fact he's about to turn 31. He turns 31 in about a month. A little over a month. He's going to want a 5-year deal. He's going to want $150 to $165 million. He's going to be really good the first couple of years of that deal, and then what are you going to have? So I don't think it's realistic to think that Blake Snell is going to actually go out there and sign anywhere that's not. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, because it doesn't seem like that they have any kind of a spending cap. Blake Snell is probably going to be a Philadelphia Philly. And that would seem about right, because I have not liked Blake Snell for a long time because some of the stuff that he said during the pandemic about how he didn't want to play because he wasn't going to make enough money and all that me stuff. So it would be perfect for Blake Snell to get on the same damn team as Bryce Harper. But he's a bad dude when he's on, man. And he was on this year. Other more likely, realistic free agents, here you go. Jack Flaherty, not a big fan of his. I really feel like he is just batting practice at this point of his career. A guy that I like a lot, but my question is, and I haven't seen a real strong prediction as far as where he's going to end up at, as far as money-wise, Seth Lugo is going to be a free agent. And you might remember Seth Lugo – as the starter for the Mets, and would have some good years and have some bad years. But this year, as a starter, because a lot of time, I mean, most of his career, Seth Lugo was a bullpen guy, and then they would have a spot start. He'd do really well in the bullpen, and then have a spot start. And every time he had a spot start, it seemed to fall apart. But this year, as a starter for the San Diego Padres, really is dumbfounding. How the hell did this team miss the playoffs? They had a pitching staff, man. God bless. And they've got talent on offense. Seth Lugo had a 3.57 ERA this year. Seth Lugo, see, what was his whip this year? Seth Lugo, by the way, had 8.6 strikeouts per nine. That's pretty damn good. His whip was only 1.2. So he was keeping traffic off the bases. He was striking guys out. Now, here's the kicker with him, and this is the big wild card with him. Seth Lugo is about to be 34. He's going to be 34 in 2 weeks, just over 2 weeks. So he's 34. How long of a deal is Seth Lugo looking for, and how long of a deal would Atlanta be willing to give him? I would tend to side with I could go with Lugo if it was a two-year deal. Three would be stretching it, but I think that's what he's going to be looking for. You talking about a three-year deal with the guy that at the end of the deal is going to be 37? That's really iffy. But Seth Lugo may want to come to Atlanta. It might give him a somewhat of a hometown discount. He is from Shreveport, Louisiana. Even played college ball in Louisiana. So there could be, kind of like Charlie Morton giving the Braves a discount, there could be a discount and a realization that, hey, if I come on and I pitch well, I could get more than just a two-year deal out of this. Now, these are pie in the sky. Well, Michael Walk is another one that's out there. He is, I don't hate what Michael Walker brings to the table, but I feel like he has seen better days. Walker this year, I mean, it really is unbelievable. Walker, another San Diego Padre with an ERA of 3.22. Michael Walker, what was his WAR this year? 2.4, so solid. Michael Walker really had a good season, and his whip this year, man, 1.16. He had 8.3 strikeouts per nine. Michael Walker is 32 years old, so he's a little younger, but you just never know where you're sitting at 32. And it's a solid 32. He doesn't turn 33 till July. You wonder, is he looking for a much longer deal than what you could get on Seth Lugo? So to me, Seth Lugo is a little more realistic. Here are the two pie-in-the-sky ones. You start off with E-Rod, Eduardo Rodriguez. He would be the one. I would want him over Blake Snell, if everything's even. But I think he's going to be looking for big-time money. Eduardo Rodriguez this year was very good. Eduardo Rodriguez also turned down a deal to go to the Dodgers that could have helped win a championship. He ended up punting on that because he didn't want to leave his family on the East Coast. So maybe he's only looking to play for East Coast. Who knows? But Eduardo Rodriguez comes in 30 years old. He is going to want the moon and the stars. I don't think he's a realistic option for Atlanta. I think he's more likely going to end up on an East Coast team, a team that's willing to spend, Here's another guy that now he may give Atlanta the hometown discount. This is a kid that went to Vanderbilt. This is a kid that is from Nashville, Tennessee. So he's from Braves country. He actually went to high school in my neck of the woods, Smyrna, Tennessee. But he is 33. He's 34. He'll be 34 in a few days. It's towards the end of his career, but man, was he phenomenal this year. 2.79 ERA. That is now, I always take that with a grain of salt when you're playing in the American League Central. You're not seeing the bats that a lot of the teams are seeing. But the numbers are the numbers. He had a 1.14 whip. He had 9 strikeouts per 9 innings. This guy would be the guy that everybody would be jumping up and down if they signed. The problem is he's coming off just a phenomenal year. You look at the bullpen. We'll get into bullpen pieces next week, but if you look at the bullpen, it looks like right now we're going to have Glacius, or Eyeglasses as we love to call him, A.J. Minter, Matzik, Tonkin, Daisbell Hernandez I would expect to be a big part, Nick Anderson. I think they bring back Jesse Chavez, and I think they bring back Nick Anderson. The biggest question is, of all these deals, and we're talking about trades and whatnot, and we'll explore this more on next week's show, but Vaughn Grissom, his slash line in the minors this year, if you were not aware of this, .330 batting average. He had a 12% walk rate and just a 14% strikeout rate, which is incredible. Do they find a spot for him, we'll say left field, on a regular basis? Or do they package him because they just simply don't have room anywhere else? You could make the argument that you could put him at short and trade Arcia. But where is the front office's head on that? Because Grissom's biggest question has always been his glove. And he was terrible at shortstop, so it doesn't really seem like that's an option. They're not trading Ozzie Albies. So the real option would be to put Grissom out in left field, or you package him in a deal that brings you back something. And it would be a big piece. If you're trading Vaughn Grissom, you're getting something big time back. All right, let's take a quick look at tonight's game. We'll have pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play of Game 3 of the World Series. Take a really quick look at this one as Max Scherzer is going on the mound versus Brandon Pfaadt. I like to call him Brandon Pfaadt. Fat Daddy. This is a mismatch, and it's not because Scherzer is a possible Hall of Famer. It's because Scherzer has fallen off a cliff. You realize his ERA in the postseason is 9.45? 9.45. I know he's only had a couple of outings. He is done. Brandon Pfaadt, by the way, who really was a big reason why Arizona got through Philly. And the funny thing is, I remember when he came up, he was struggled mightily at the beginning of the year. But Pfaadt has been unbelievable in this postseason. And this rookie is going to toe the rubber with his 2.7 ERA against Max Scherzer. And, look, I picked Arizona to win this series at the beginning of the series. Nothing has happened for me to change that. I think when you look at the fact that Scherzer's taking the mound tonight, And Fott's on the other side. I've got to go with Arizona winning this game. I think Arizona wins this game. I'm going to take a higher scoring affair. It's their first World Series at home in quite some time. Crowd's going to be jumping through the roof. Give me Arizona to win this one 7-3. My pick to click. I'm going to go with Corbin Carroll. I know it's low-hanging fruit, but I love watching that kid play. Man, he is fun. He can absolutely just fly. Max Scherzer is going to get pounded. Max Scherzer has done. Prediction, Max Scherzer does not get through five innings. He is not going to make it. So if Texas does win this game, it's because Bochy goes out and grabs him and gets him the hell out of there. The funny thing is, they've got him in the rotation next year, too, because of that trade. Now, the Mets are footing most of the bill. But it's pretty damn funny, if you think about it, that the Mets are having to pay that much money, and it's probably worth it to get him the hell out of your locker room, get him the hell away from your team. Max Scherzer sucks. Everybody has just lost this. They've lost sight of that because you think of what he used to be. He's not Justin Verlander, where he still has some stuff left in the tank. He sucks. Hey, I could be wrong. Maybe he goes out there and fires six scoreless. And this isn't the best offense on the planet, but I don't see him getting past five. I really don't. And they take a 2-1 lead. It's going to get dicey. It's going to get really dicey for Texas. They're trying to find a way to win one game to get back to Arlington. I still like Arizona to win this series. I've said it at the beginning. I'll say it again. Why am I picking Arizona? Not for some hatred for Max Scherzer. I'm talking about legitimately. I don't care who wins between these two teams. I'm entertained by the series. I'm looking forward to tonight's game. But why do I pick Arizona to win? Because their starting pitching is as good as, if not better, top to bottom than Texas. And their bullpen is definitely deeper than Texas. Texas has the better offense. There's no doubt about that. But pitching will always win championships. And I think Arizona gets it done tonight. But it should be an entertaining game. My prediction on Max Scherzer, he goes just over three innings maybe. About three runs, and then they're going to go get him. Because remember, they got a rested bullpen, which is probably why they've set him up for game three. Because, like, man, we can't have you in the middle of this road trip, because what if we have to let you get a ride? Now, if he goes out there and gets bombed, they may just let him take one for the team. But if they're competing and trying to win this game, I don't think he gets through five innings. All right, y'all. Great seeing everybody. On all our different platforms, and also those of y'all on WQEE. Pitch by pitch, play by play, World Series, Braves Country Radio, tonight! And it's a hell of a lot better than that terrible football game that they've got playing. Good night, Irene. We'll see you next time. Braves Country, right here on Braves Country Radio.
You're in Braves Country.